bastard storm. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone, your host, and we're here at Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM, WISP, and 1420 AM, WCOJ. It is a beautiful day, a little bit cold, but a beautiful day nevertheless. And we are now in the month of February. It's February 1st, 2019. We have a great show for you today. And we will be giving you an update first of the WINGS program and where we stand in the Caron Framholt Correctional Facility. And as we get started, I just want to dedicate our show to all of our priests out there, all of our deacons out there who are delivering the Word of God, you know, to the best of their abilities, because that is so important. And we just pray for our priests and our deacons and our religious out there in our church at a time when our church really needs a lot of prayer. And, we just also pray today for our country, for peace, and for an end to any prejudice out there that may exist in anyone's heart. So we just dedicate our show to those things, and we just thank you for being with us here this morning at Holy Spirit Radio. Again, my name is Joe Montone, your host, and this is Finding God in Prison. And the WINGS program is a program that we formed many years ago, as you know, and we will be highlighting the WINGS program today and talking a little bit about our present class, which is now in session 18, which is all about attitude. The attitude of the men is very, very important for success in reentry. Excuse me. And the men that we have now will graduate next Wednesday, February 6th, and they will hopefully get discharged within the next few months. Some of them will be sentenced and going upstate to serve time, and others will come home and put their action plans for the future into play, and this is very important. So as we begin the program inside prison walls, our goal is to get men home early by giving the judge a program of substance, which includes an action plan for the future that has been developed over 2.5 months. And the WINGS program today is, again, now in session 18. We have a couple of sessions to go before graduation. And I just want to share with you a little bit about what happened last Friday. We had a court case over at the Criminal Justice Center, and we were going in to support one of our men who was facing a gun charge, but had beaten his case, which was actually a self-defense case. And while we were waiting for our case, I was in the courtroom and had the privilege of listening to the families, the friends of a gentleman who was killed on the street back in 2017, right in front of his home with his 3-year-old child, excuse me, sitting in the car. This gentleman had just come home from work and was going to take his 3-year-old and his dog out to Fairmount Park. But unfortunately, tonight, two men approached him outside his car, right in front of his home, and asked him for his wallet and his keys. And he said to them, "I'll give you my wallet and I'll give you the keys, but please just let me get my three-year-old out of the car. And the guy said, no, just give me the keys to the car. And he said to them, I would like to just get my three-year-old out of the car. I'll give you my wallet and my keys. But unfortunately, they were habit pattern for this kind of crime. And unfortunately, took his life and shot him twice to the head. A very, very traumatic experience, you know, for anyone watching. And there were people nearby. The entire event was actually filmed on video. And while in the courtroom, prior to the case beginning, the family of the victim and the friends of the victim, must have been 40 to 50 people, filed into the courtroom to speak on his behalf, to share with the judge and the defense attorney, prosecuting attorney, and everyone there, the good things that this man had done in his life, who he was, what he meant to them. And this was really a tremendous opportunity for me to take his story and share it with our men back in the jail to help to get to the heart of a man. And this is one of the things we use to help men to make changes. And so while I'm sitting there in the courtroom, I had the privilege once again of listening to the brothers and sisters, the wife of this gentleman who was killed at 38 years old. And they were just tremendous speakers who were well prepared and who had written beautiful letters to share with the listeners in the courtroom. This was no fly-by-night morning for this gentleman. Really meant a great deal to all of these people. And I just tell you that this was a privilege for me to be there. And I shared this story with our men back in prison only within a week. One of the guys asked me, he said, well, why were you in the courtroom? This was not your case. I said, yes, this was not my case, but I was in the courtroom at 9 a.m. And our case was postponed. It was pushed back due to the fact that there were so many people there to speak on behalf of the victim. And I shared that story with them. And I just tell you, the man who actually did the killing, who participated in it, I should say, because they were two brothers. One of the men who was in the courtroom as a defendant was 21 years old. He had a ninth grade education. And it was clear that they were out to rob someone that night. And unfortunately, this was the individual who was going to be taken. And this was a tremendous tragedy. And for now, this woman, who remains with her two children, will have to go through life without her husband, her partner, her best friend. And I just want to, put it out there that this is why we do what we do, so that we can help to improve communities and cities throughout Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and other states, because we want people to make changes and not to commit crime, but to go out there and to go to work, make their money, and to live a good life. These two individuals who killed this 38-year-old man received $60 from his wallet, and that's it. This crime was committed, and all they got were $60. The gentleman who was associated with the crime, but did not pull the trigger, received roughly 25 to 50 years of time to serve. And, he will have a long time to think about what he did. And we talk about this in our classes to help men to avoid this kind of activity and to secure their freedom so that they no longer live a life within prison walls. And we have several million men and women living in prison today throughout the nation, and more than 50,000 inmates in the state of Pennsylvania, and more than 30,000 in the state of New Jersey. And so this story, like others I have shared with you, hit me in the heart. And, you know, while sitting in the courtroom, I'm wondering, you know, why am I here? And God brought it to me that I am here to take this story to hundreds of other men to help them to avoid, you know, this type of crime. And the stories that were told by the families of the victim were heart-touching. They truly made an impact on me and the judge and everyone present, and the courtroom was packed. And I just tell you that this is why we do the WINGS program, and this is why we continue to work on the hearts and the minds of other men who are habit patterned, who have a comfort zone for committing crime, robbing and running, burglaries, home invasions, selling drugs. This is the activity day to day that men are habit patterned to do. Our job is to create new habits and to leave the old ones behind and to give them really encouragement and strength and the word of God to help them to make the change, which is so important. And no one can change another man. I can have an impact on another man, but there's no way that I can change anyone. Only God can do it. And this is, you know, a powerful thing. So this is a key objective for the WINGS program. And many men make changes inside, we know. One of the guys I'd like to highlight is a guy by the name of Stan Tookie Williams III. Stan Williams co-founded the Crips gang in Los Angeles, which developed into one of the largest criminal gang networks in the United States and was widely copied in Asia and South Africa. He was convicted of the 1979 shotgun murders of a convenience store clerk in Whittier, California, and of a couple and their adult daughter at their Los Angeles motel, and was sentenced to die by lethal injection. While acknowledging his gangbanging activity in South Central Los Angeles, which he clearly declared in a public apology to the community, Tookie Williams consistently denied responsibility for the four murders. Williams remained a violent man while his years in prison, assaulting inmates and guards and spending 6 years in solitary confinement from 1988 to 1994. But, as he later described it, during the period he began reading widely and reflecting on his life and resolved to prevent gang violence, Williams says he spent his time in solitary confinement reading the Bible, the dictionary, studying philosophy, psychology, and black history. He found his faith in the hole. He found God in the hole. After his conversion, Williams taped a message from prison in April 1993 that was broadcast to Los Angeles gang members at a peace summit. With the help of Barbara Becknell, a writer he met in prison who became his champion, he started books and was working on 8 books for children that were published in 1996 as a series called Tookie Speaks Out Against Gang Violence. He followed with a book called Life in Prison in 1998 and a memoir called Blue Rage, Black Redemption in 2004, and was working on 2 more books before his execution. He spoke regularly from prison to the youth and educators, And there was a movie called Redemption, a cable TV movie starring Jamie Foxx in a sympathetic portrayal of Tookie Williams, which aired in 2004. Although he was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize 6 times, Tookie was executed at San Quentin Prison and pronounced dead at 12:35 a.m., December 13, 2005. Here is Tookie's apology, which was written on April 13, 1997. So today, I apologize to you all, the children of America and South Africa, who must cope every day with dangerous street gangs. I no longer participate in the so-called gangster lifestyle, and I deeply regret that I ever did. My goal is to reach as many young minds as possible, to warn you about the perils of a gang lifestyle. I am no longer diseducated or disease educated. I am no longer part of the problem. Thanks to the Almighty, I am no longer sleepwalking through life. I pray that one day my apology will be accepted. I also pray that your suffering caused by gang violence will soon come to an end as more gang members wake up and stop hurting themselves and others. I vow to spend the rest of my life working towards solutions. This was a guy who I would characterize as a wingman because he made changes. And it took him many years in the hole to find his faith, to find God. But with that change, he leaves a legacy of writing many books against gang violence. Many books to show that his faith was the catalyst by which he was able to make the change and to get on board with what God says to do instead of what he says not to do. This is powerful. And Tookie Williams was a wingman, and he is a guy that we highlight to help other men to make the same change. And men have to find their faith and to get their lives right. Because if they're not following what God says to do, they're probably doing what feels good to them or following some other person and doing what they've been doing for many years. Back at the House of Correction years ago, we were talking about going to work and going to second chance employers, creating resumes and filling out applications, going back to school for the trades, and maybe a 4-year degree. And one of the guys said, well, I haven't worked ever in my life. I said, well, how old are you? He said, I'm 38 years old. I said, well, what have you been doing for the last 25 years? And he said, well, I've been robbing and running. And that exactly what happened to that man, 38 years old, on the street. He was the victim of a robbery. And he suffered, you know, before he died, as he was killed on the streets outside his home. And again, we just want to dedicate this moment to this gentleman and to his family, that God will bless them with a lot of peace as they move forward into a new chapter of their lives, a sad chapter of their lives without this man who meant so much to them and who was a tremendous impact, not only to his family, but to other people's families through community service and through the many friends. And it was said that 5,000 people attended this gentleman's funeral. And so we want to dedicate this moment once again to this gentleman and his family for the great tragedy that they had suffered. May it never happen again. And we pray that his children will just, you know, move forward through the peace of God, through the love of God, and through wonderful people that God puts into their lives. And so we just share this with you, my friends, because this was a tremendous tragedy. that happened in 2017, but the court case, the actual sentencing, took place only 1 week ago today. And I witnessed it and had the privilege of taking that story back to our men at the Coron Framo Correctional Facility in Philadelphia. So as we move forward in our show today, my friends, I want to again remind you that you're listening to Joe Montone, your host. This is Finding God in Prison. And we are on WISP 1570 AM and 1420 AM WCOJ. This is Holy Spirit Radio. And it is February 1st, 2019. It is a new month in a new year. And we just pray for you today that God will bless you and bless your families with much love and much peace, with a great year, a year of peace and a year of love, a year of reducing stress. In the WINGS program, one of the things we try to do is help the men to reduce the stress in their lives and in the lives of the family members who are supporting them. Many of our men have created stressful lives for their moms and dads through incarceration. And it is not easy to go through the process of being incarcerated, the process of going to court many times with hearings and trials and sentencings and continuances. This is a hardship, and it is hard to endure. And many of our families suffer with depression and financial burdens. So we just pray, you know, that God will bless the WINGS program and other good reentry programs to help our men to make great changes. And this is what it's all about. We've had many men come through the program, more than 1,600. And I'd like to share with you a little bit about the WINGS program itself. Because the WINGS program is a faith-based inmate reentry and recovery program approved by the commissioner of the Philadelphia prison system. The program was designed for inmates in prison, on probation, out on bail, or in recovery from alcoholism and substance abuse. The WINGS program is tailored to assist all men in embracing responsibility, developing a strong work ethic, in making good decisions, as well as making positive changes in daily life. The WINGS program is a 50-hour prison and recovery home mentoring program that addresses many topics of discussion. Some of the topics are priorities in life, time management, balance, the circle of people around you, which we call the circle of influence, short-term and long-term goal setting, strategic planning, action plan development, discharge plan development, courtroom protocol, communications, situational awareness, decision-making, stress, anxiety and depression, anger and fear, management of your anger, revenge, retaliation, and drug avoidance. We also cover educational needs, resume structuring, career planning, career choices, business development, marriage, fatherhood, manhood, your captainship, family relationships, forgiveness, writing letters of apology, letters of appreciation, letters of forgiveness, building stability and credibility with the banks and with your personal family, personal integrity, becoming a role model, engaging in transitional work, long-term employment, and business ownership, income taxes, trade school options to include plumbing, electrical, HVAC, roofing, community service, forming a nonprofit organization, real estate, including buying a home and how to do it, and rehabbing homes for rental properties. So we cover a host of things from character education to family education to strategic planning. And those plans actually go to the judge. which is so important, to touch the heart of the judge and to make an impact on the judge himself so we can get our men home a little bit earlier. And we've had men come home early. We've saved them years of time inside by offering the judge a program of substance. You know, when you're on the inside, the men are receive 2 one-half-hour visits a week or a one-hour visit each and every week. And they also are limited to 10 minutes a day on the phone. So these are some challenging things that they have to go through while preparing to come home and to change their life. We also do, from time to time, some one-on-one counseling in official visits. And we offer our men letters of support to the court to help the judge to understand the WINGS program. And we've had one judge actually come into CFCF and join us for a class for 45 minutes and witness the WINGS program live with 30 men. And Judge Tamika Lane came in, and she was very, very good to us in court prior to coming in, but wanted to know more about the program. And so we met with her in our chambers, and she came in about 3 weeks later and witnessed the program live to get a feel for what we talk about, how it is that we prepare our men for discharge. And so those are some of the things we talk about on the inside of prison walls. On the outside, the men have access to a hotline and are given motivation, guidance, and direction, and a lot of passion to help them to continue with their probation without getting a violation and to go out and get a job within 3 to 30 days and trying to make only good things happen. This is very, very essential for success in reentry, which is the number one goal in the WINGS program. Define it clearly, the number one goal in the WINGS program is actually to get men home early, to help them to complete their probation without a violation, and then never to return again to jail. And that is an overall goal for us. It's not easy, but with perseverance and a lot of substance in the program, we can make it happen. Recently, we were talking about getting out of your comfort zone. And the comfort zone we're talking about is the one that people are in that impedes progress. It holds them back. It creates stagnation and procrastination. And the comfort zone that the two brothers were in, who killed that 38-year-old man on the street in front of his home, was to rob people on the street using a gun and take their money to carjack them. And that's what they were doing that day. And they were comfortable with that. Our job is to make them uncomfortable with that and get them comfortable with other things that help them to secure their freedom. So, you know, it is a process by which we use a lot of different tools to help men to make the changes. Well, friends, we've been talking now for about 30 minutes. We're halfway through the program. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with you. Thank you.
A longtime supporter of Holy Spirit Radio is Holly Hill Health Foods, a locally owned, family-run business for over 26 years. They offer a wide selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, and formulas. They also have nutritionists to serve your needs. Visit Holly Hill Health Foods at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, Pennsylvania, or call them at 215-361-7770. You can also shop online at HollyHillVitamins.com.
Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever.
Okay, my friends, welcome back to Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone, your host. We're here at 1570 AM, WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. This is Holy Spirit Radio. It is a privilege and a pleasure to be back with you on the air February 1st, 2019. God bless you this morning. It is a new month and inside a new year. Make it a great year and to do the very best you can to bring the love of God to other people. In the second half of the program, we're going to be talking a little bit about a book called Epiphany, which is a theological introduction to Catholicism by Aidan Nichols, a book that is referenced inside a course called Systematic Theology. And in the area of chapter 4 within Epiphany, I was struck by the section titled The Mysteries of the Birth and Infancy. Here, the author, Aidan Nichols, explains that the virgin birth of Jesus doesn't define Jesus as the one true God and true man. Although the birth of Jesus is an essential part of the gospel, Nichols highlights the fact that it was an independent and totally free choice by God the Father. With his decision, Jesus, the eternal Son of God, would be forever linked to the man from the city of Nazareth. Nichols goes on to describe the virginal birth of Jesus as God's ingenious artwork. Ingenious because in the virginal birth of Jesus, God first removes man's contribution to the creation of a child and prepares the way for himself to interact with a woman. As the creation of a child requires both a man and a woman, God's plan for the virginal birth is a method that no human being could have considered. Hence, God's plan for the virginal birth is innovative and even visionary. It's the perfect plan. Nichols also enlightened within me with his description of the Annunciation of Mary by the angel Gabriel. He highlights Mary's humility and great desire to offer herself to God as the Lord's handmaid. This single event in the history of the world separates Mary from all other women. This is confirmed by Nichols when he quotes the Word of God and states, By her obedience, she became for herself and for all the human race the cause of salvation. The concept of God and a woman joining together to create Jesus is the greatest gift for any woman to receive. However, in the eyes of God, Mary is no ordinary woman. But God has been preparing her for this very important moment throughout her entire life. Understanding God's logic in having Mary deliver Jesus is something to ponder. But God could have chosen 1,000 other ways to introduce his son into the world. But why did God choose Mary? Why did God remove man from the equation and put himself into the situation, creating a virginal birth? What are the benefits for God? What are the benefits to us as God's children? Do you believe that most people understand Mary's true role in the life of Jesus? What was her role? Why do many people ignore Mary today? And these are some of the questions, my friends, that I pose to you. And in the book of Epiphany, which once again is used in what we call systematic theology, as people are working on their bachelor's and master's in theology, the book is used to help men to grow and to become deacons in the Catholic Church. It's a powerful thing. As we grow in faith, you know, there are many books that we use. And currently, in this book, written by Aidan Nichols, in chapter 4, we're focusing on the mysteries of the birth and the infancy here. And these questions are very important because the Blessed Mother was part of the Father's plan, is someone that we need to honor and praise. And in our last show, we focused heavily on, you know, Our Lady, as we were highlighting on January 1st, the dedication of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of God. Our show is focused on Mary's presence as the one and only woman who was selected to give birth to the Son of God. But if we look at how this took place, it's really an amazing plan, a perfect plan, in which God removes man to create our Lord and puts himself into the equation through the Holy Spirit. And with that, our Lord is born. You know, not as every person is born, but as a special moment in time where God himself, as our Lord, comes into the world through Mary. Beautiful moment. So why did God choose Mary? Why did he remove man from the equation, put himself in the situation? And I truly believe that Mary was prepared all her life as, you know, just a perfect individual who we honor today, who did enormous work to protect our Lord when people were trying to take him away, to kill him as a child, as a newborn. This was an amazing hardship that Mary and Joseph had to endure. I believe truly that, you know, God wants to give us the very best that he can, the most love that he can. And so he puts himself into the equation and he creates, you know, this virginal birth, which is really the mystery of the birth is so you know, challenging to understand. But nevertheless, it is the way in which God planned to bring our Lord to the world, to bring more and more love. The benefits for God is basically to have the exact process take place with no mistakes. And so God is involved. God is good. God is great. God is involved in this right through the entire process. And he himself, you know, is with Our Lady and create the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very powerful. And the benefits to us as the children of God are, you know, we see Mary and Joseph as a role model for family life. The creation of the Holy Family is very powerful. And we see that, you know, today, 2,000 years later, we celebrate, you know, still the birth of Christ. And we look forward to it every year. We celebrate it with great passion throughout the world. It is something very, very special. And the Blessed Mother, we know through the Gospel of Luke, was part of that initial plan. And just to refresh your memory, you know, when the angels went away from them, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go then to Bethlehem to see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went in haste and found Mary and Joseph and the infant lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known the message that had been told to them about the child. All who heard it were amazed by what they had been told by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. When 8 days were completed for the circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And this is important, my friends, because we're really continuing our case for the Blessed Mother, the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, the Lord was divine and the Lord was human. So he has two natures. And it is a powerful and a challenging thing to explore, to ponder, and we just want to, you know, put it out there today that, you know, as deacons in training and priests in training, that the virginal birth is one of the things that we have to understand. The creation of our Lord, the creation of our Holy Family through Mary and the Holy Spirit is very, very powerful. And one of the other questions we want to answer here is, do you believe that most people understand Mary's true role in the life of Jesus? And you know, the Lord lived 33 years, and Our Lady was there from the beginning, and she helped him to grow, to nourish him, and to give him all that he needs on a daily basis, to protect him, and to see him through his life, which was part of the plan. And Our Lady suffered a lot of sadness and a lot of tragedies because she watched the Lord go through his death and resurrection. His death, the road to Calvary, and in those events we call the sorrowful mysteries. We highlight many of those events in the rosary. We see that Our Lady truly, suffered a great deal in watching her son be prepared for his death. Imagine your son being prepared for his death. Imagine the mother of that young man who was gunned down in the streets in Philadelphia, okay, who, how would she feel, okay? The children of that man who was gunned down, you know, who will never have their father with them again, the wife of that man who was gunned down, will never share, you know, another holiday, another birthday, another anniversary with her husband, and she will raise her children without him. Our Lady suffered a great deal. And we want to highlight that because, again, some people tend to ignore the fact that the Blessed Mother was part of the Lord's plan, and the Gospel of Luke confirms that, that the Father had selected her and had prepared her, and she accepted what God wanted for her. Once again, Nichols highlights Mary's humility and great desire to offer herself to God as the Lord's handmaid. You know, and by her obedience, she became, you know, for herself and for all human race, the cause of salvation. So she was involved in this process from the beginning, and it is a a privilege and an honor to be here on Holy Spirit Radio to talk about the virginal birth and to take a look at it, in a way where we want to understand it a little bit better, you know, how God removes the man and puts himself into the equation and creates Jesus, the perfect, you know, person, and, you know, gives us the role model for family life. And, you know, that is so important today because we have, in our prison program, we know that many of our men are not married, but have children with people out of wedlock. We know that this is something that God wants to change. God says, how do we know that? We know it because God says, you know, a man will leave his mother and father and join his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Okay, that's how we know what God wants, because it's in the Word of God. God says, a man will leave his mother and father and join his wife, and the two will become one flesh. He didn't say a boy will leave his mother and father. A man will leave his mother and father. He says, be fruitful and multiply. He says, husband, care for your wife as you care for your own body. So the issue of family life has to be part of the WINGS program, and it is, because it is essential for our civilization to continue to grow. We must produce children in the context of a marriage. We have countries out there with a negative birth rate, but we have a high number of men who are engaging in sexual activity and who are producing children, and not caring for them. One of our great jobs here is to help them to see the light by introducing them the Word of God strategically placed into the WINGS program. And when we talk about family life education, this is important. Session 10, we highlight actually the gift of life. And as a pro-life speaker for many years, since 1999, we bring in session 10 the issue of abortion and partial birth abortion and embryonic stem cell research versus adult stem cell research. And we make the case for the unborn child in a great way with medical factual data and beautiful pictures of the unborn from conception through birth. And we share with our men. And why do we do it? We do it so that we can help them to become compassionate for the unborn child, for their children. This is an incredible, you know, tragedy that has taken place. We've got, you know, babies being aborted, you know, throughout the world, more than 50 million every year. And, you know, abortion is still legal since 1973, when the U.S. Supreme Court said that human offspring are not persons before birth. Well, you know, we have medical factual data supporting that we have, you know, human life in a mother's womb, that we have a heartbeat at 21 days, and we have brain waves, you know, by 6 weeks. We have fingerprints and footprints by 10 weeks in a mother's womb. All the systems are working, and the baby's growing in size. And this is a powerful thing. When we show them ultrasound images highlighting the true presence of a human being in the mother's womb, the men are touched. And many of our men actually have been, you know, part of abortions, have paid for abortions. Some of them have had women who've had abortions without them knowing about it. So this is a very, very important part of the WINGS program. It used to be a standalone project, a two-hour program for schools, and we went into more than 100 schools through Pennsylvania's For Human Life and other organizations. As you know, we just had the March for Life in Washington, and that's only one day of the year. The work continues throughout the year, my friends, and the way we do it in the WINGS program is right inside prison walls, getting to the men who have helped to create many, many children. Okay, we have men with 27 children. We have men who have 10 kids with 8 different women. We have a man who was born in prison. And this is the result of really carelessness and a lack of self-discipline and a lack of value on motherhood, which is really the greatest gift in the world, other than the gift of life itself. The gift of motherhood is the producer of life. And so, you know, we need to put motherhood, you know, up on a pedestal as something to honor and value, something to protect. And this is what we do in the WINGS program. And we've been doing this for many years, my friends. You know, the WINGS program is in its 26th year now. But as it evolved into an inmate reentry program many years ago, we placed the session on pro-life with a focus on saving the life of the unborn child, okay, helping our men to get educated and motivated to understand that, you know, hey, if you get a woman pregnant, I want you to think about what we talked about. I want you to consider what we talked about and share it with your children and make the right decision and choose life. And in a WINGS program, we advocate for the mother to carry her baby to term and to raise her child or give it up for adoption. And these are the two options that we have. Abortion is not an option. And one of the things we know that abortion kills babies. And the Lord says, you know, do not kill. One of the great commandments. And in the WINGS program, we try to line men up with what God says to do and what he says not to do. So this is, you know, an important part of the WINGS program. So as we go from the virginal birth of Jesus, again, we see, you know, the connection between babies that are born, throughout the world. Some of them are born in families with a mother and a father. Some are born out of wedlock with a mother only and no father present. And many are raised by grandparents without parents today due to incarceration and recovery from substance abuse. The man in our program who was born in prison, his mother was an inmate, and his mother served many years. So he grew up with his grandmother. And by age 14, his grandmother threw him out, unfortunately, because he and her boyfriend did not get along. But these are the family tragedies that we see in the Wings program. And our job is to help to change that culture, to change that focus with a lack of family value to a great value on the family itself. And we're not only working to get a good career off the ground, we're focusing on getting a healthy family life as well. Because you can have a great career, make plenty of money, and be the loneliest man in the world. Our job is to show value and on family life and to put it all together. So one of the highlights in the Wings program is the priorities in life, talking about God first, you second. And the stronger you are, the more you can do for your family life, your kids, your grandkids, your parents. All right? But it's all about God, you, family, and then your work, community service, and then hobbies and sports last. So this is an important thing. And as we just mentioned, once again, that the March for Life that had just passed, this is an opportunity to just thank some of the people who have been in my life, who have helped me to get educated and to produce great programs that are focused on family life and to give respect for life itself. And I just want to go back to 1999 when I was a guest on here at Holy Spirit Radio with Bill Miller at Voices for the Unborn and was on his show. And basically, Bill interviewed me and asked me about my own conversion story, how I left corporate America and left being a pilot full-time under Pan Am and TWA. And also, he led me to a guy by the name of Joe Mortimer, who ran a television program called Voices for the Unborn. And one day, I was a guest on Joe's back in 1999. And I just tell you that when Joe interviewed me, when we were done, he said, that was a pretty good show. Why don't you come back next week and co-host the show? And I said, Joe, you want me to co-host the show with you? And he said, yeah, why not? So I came back, and he said, we're going to do two shows tonight. And after the first show, his voice began to become raspy, similar to mine this morning, unfortunately, due to a head cold. But Joe and I did the first show together, and then on the second one, he asked me to host the show. And that led to 10 years of programming with Joe Mortimer and Voices for the Unborn television show. And that was an amazing moment because it opened the door for me to a whole new area of work, which is for the unborn child. And through Daily Mass, I was also led to a nonprofit organization doing great work called Pennsylvania's for Human Life. And one of the women from the church up at St. Ignatius led me to a training in Pennsylvania's for Human Life. And I immediately saw that the unborn child was a victim. And when I seen that, God put the unborn child on my heart. And since then, I've been a speaker and advocate for life and for family life and have been to more than 100 schools through different organizations, but especially Pennsylvania's for Human Life. And in 2001, we formed our own nonprofit organization, My Father's Vineyard, and did our own style of the presentation, which we carry today into prisons, which is very powerful with fetal models and ultrasound images of the unborn from conception through through 9 months of pregnancy. And this is a powerful opportunity to be a speaker for life. What are you doing for life and for family life? How do you get these messages across? Okay, we started out today talking about the loss of life and that young man who was killed on the streets of Philadelphia and then moved into the virginal birth of Christ. A powerful thing. We're talking about the life of Christ through the virginal birth of Jesus Christ. And this is something that we need to talk about to give us energy, enthusiasm, zeal, and to understand that the Word of God supports, you know, our Blessed Mother's role in the life of Christ, helping them to do what he had to do in the Father's plan. And she was a key player in the Father's plan, and that's why the Father selected her, because she was going to have a role throughout his entire life. And even through the death and resurrection, Our Lady was there at the foot of the cross. She suffered. And let it be clear that she suffered, okay, and watching her son put to death, okay? And she suffered when he was beaten and when he was, you know, in a lot of pain. She could see it. And, you know, in all kinds of ways, the Lord suffered. But Our Lady also was there as the mother of our Lord. Let us be compassionate to that. Let us not just disown her, ignore her, reject her. Let us embrace her, because she too suffered a great deal. And the only thing Our Lady does, like I said in the last program, is bring us closer to Jesus. That's all she can do. That's it. She has been given the blessing of being, you know, the vehicle by which we get closer to Christ. And I'll tell you that, you can buy a Mercedes-Benz, but that won't bring you closer to Jesus. You can buy a sure home, but that won't bring you closer to Jesus. But Our Lady will. And this is why it's important that we focus on her and her role in helping us to come closer to Jesus. It's very, very critical for our own faith and development. And, you know, as we talk again about the pro-life philosophy here, what are you doing? I challenge you this year to do something to get involved and to get the message of life and family life, to be an advocate for the life of the unborn, an advocate for family life, traditional family life between a husband and a man. Why? Because that's what God says to do. He says a man will leave his mother and father and join his wife. We must get back to the basics. You know, like I said in the last program, the Bible stands for basic instructions before leaving earth. We got to get back to the basics, because a lot of people are trying to eliminate those basic instructions, where everything is okay. Everything is okay in our culture, in the United States and throughout the world. Well, it's not okay. And the Lord tells us what we can do and what not to do. And so we want to, you know, get this straight. But I challenge you to do something today, this week, this month, this year, to support the life of the unborn, traditional marriage and family, okay, and other very, very important topics that are connected to the life issues, such as adult stem cell research versus embryonic stem cell research, using the actual embryo for research and development versus the umbilical cord. I challenge you to get educated and to get on board. And if all you can do is pray, then my friends, get out there and pray. Pray privately, pray in prayer groups. But we need a lot of prayer and sacrifice. We need fasting and prayer to help us to really end abortion and to change the culture we live in, because we need all the help we can get, my friends, and you are part of it. You are not sitting on the bench. You're out there on the front lines now, and Holy Spirit Radio is giving you that call right now. through the Word of God, we have been given the blessing and the motivation to go out there to do something great for our Lord. My friend, this is Joe Montone, your host, listening to WISP 1570 AM and WCOJ 1420 AM. This is Finding God in Prison, and once again, you're on Holy Spirit Radio. I want to thank you this morning for listening to our program. I want to thank our donors for supporting our program. And I want to thank Frank for getting up early and making this happen today, and really appreciate that, Frank. And I want to thank Dale and Jane for all their love and support for having me on the air once again here at Finding God in Prison. May God bless you. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio. God bless you.